Well, good morning and happy Monday to you. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. We've got a great show to start your week off today. I'll tell you more about it in a few minutes. We're going to kick things off in prayer as we do each and every day. The first thing I want to mention is today is, of course, September the 11th. We want to remember all of those lives who were lost and their families who were affected in the terrorist attack in 2001. We want to remember them. We also want to remember those who are still dealing with the after effects of Hurricane Irma. I don't even think the damage is fully known yet. Half of the state of Florida is without power at the moment. We have the people who are struggling, not just in Florida, but everyone who has dealt with Irma and its aftermath, and also the people who were victimized by the earthquake in Mexico. So we have so many people to lift up in prayer. And of course, we lift up our own personal needs as well. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day. Thank you for the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to live among us, to die, and to rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven could be open. Father, we lift up the souls of those lost in the 9/11 attack in 2001. We also lift up their family members, and we ask you to grant them peace. We pray for an end to terrorism. We pray for those affected by Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey. We pray for those who suffered in the earthquake in Mexico. Father, we also lift up our own personal intentions. We ask you to help us with our needs, and we ask you to speak through us at the station today. Please use us to proclaim your message and open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your words. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. On the program today, Dr. Greg Popchak will join us to discuss how to deal with difficult people. Boy, that's going to be an interesting one. Also, Danielle Bean will be here to talk about her book, You're Worth It. But right now, I'm going to say hello to the one, the only, the always effervescent, even on a Monday morning, thanks, Dave Gary. Parker.
I better find that effervescence. Yeah, brother, good morning, Gary. How are you,
brother? I am doing great. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, what Eagles, a contrast.
Eagles victory yesterday, yes. By the way. We're going to
Eagles
talk about
victory.
That, but yes, contrast.
What a season opener. Yeah, wow, I love it. I love starting off on a positive note. We're 1-0. Keep it up, birds.
Dave, let me share something. This was in yesterday's Courier Post. The headline on the sports page, very big article, Carson Wentz, Faith in Christ Drives Wentz.
Amen.
After that, the headline, the subheadline, whatever you call it, is Religion Pushes Quarterback On and Off the Field. Dave, listen to this quote from Carson Wentz. This makes him even more likable. I mean, I'm an Eagles fan, but I really like what he has to say. Mm-hmm. He said this, on the field and in everything I do, honestly, it gives me a bigger picture. So when I'm playing football and it's good, bad, or ugly, I realize I'm not trying to please the fans or the media. Ultimately, I'm just trying to play for the Lord. And I know where my heart is at. It just helps me play a lot more freely and a lot more boldly, confidently. And he goes on to say, there's a verse, Colossians 3:23, which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. You're working for the Lord and not for human masters.
Wow.
Isn't that really cool?
I love that. What paper is that?
It's the Courier Post.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really great to see him boldly proclaim his Christian faith.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you talk about being an evangelist. He's out there, folks, and I agree with that. Everything we do, whether it's on the football field or in the studio here, Gary and Frank and Dave and everyone who comes here or whatever line of work you are in, give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, let the Lord take over your life and your work life, your whole life. Not just your work life, not just your personal life.
Your whole life, right?
Your whole life.
Yeah, and when you do that, you're going to work harder. I mean, because if you're working to please the Lord and just not your boss and just not to gain the approval of other people around you, you're going to work much more harder because you're offering a sacrifice to the Lord.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I mean, who is your ultimate long-term boss? you know, going into eternity.
That's right.
Not to say that we don't please our boss now, and no, it all comes together if we have everything aright and lined up.
But it's really nice to see an athlete be so public about his Christian faith. That's very inspiring.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dave, did you catch the hurricane? Were you watching any of the hurricane coverage this weekend?
Yes. And sorry, Barbara, maybe, much to her chagrin sometimes.
But it was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
There's a hurricane coming, she says. Yes, but I mean, I'm a planner. I'm an emergency management planner, many things. And I was watching it, but I did have to turn off. But I want to say one thing. Let's also pray that this Jose hurricane, I think the tracks are taking it more out to sea.
Okay.
Let's pray that it does. I mean, we don't want a third one.
No, and Dave, let's talk about this for a minute, because half of Florida is without power. But what they're saying right now, and of course, they're still trying to assess the damage, but on the surface, the damage seems less than could have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were praying.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to believe that our prayers, and I saw it all over Facebook throughout the weekend.
Exactly.
I believe our prayers made a difference.
I believe
and saved lives.
I mean, know so. Yeah, I was praying, and there was one thing on Facebook, one clip, where maybe you saw this one as well, where a group of folks were on the shore, on the beach, and they were praying, and they were singing, and you know, they're just asking God to lessen this, or and even take away this hurricane.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. Prayer does work, and Jose is the next one. And let me look at the weather forecast here, because it's going to be beautiful here in the greater Philadelphia area. Right now, the current temperature at Philadelphia International Airport, 57 degrees under fair skies. Today, sunny with a high near 78. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. At the moment in Gap, it's 48 degrees. In Jenkintown, 52 degrees. And in Perkasie, we have 45 degrees.
Yeah, wow.
I almost felt guilty because it was so beautiful out this
weekend.
That's
what I was going to say earlier. But, I mean, what a contrast. But we can – let's – not too long ago, we had Sandy.
Boy, do I remember that.
And, I mean, boy, we got hammered. I mean, this whole region. So, yes, I mean, we can relate, as they used to say, to what the folks in Florida and Harvey down in Texas.
Oh, my gosh,
I can't. Well, actually, I cannot relate to all that water that was in Texas.
But
it's just keep our faith. Keep your faith, folks.
And, you know, people will say, well, why does God allow things like this to happen? And again, I talked about this on one of my podcasts over the weekend. I can't speak for God necessarily, but what I can see is this. When something like this happens, these natural disasters, you see so much good emerging. You see people helping people. You see Democrats helping Republicans. Mm-hmm. You see people caring about their brothers and sisters, right? I mean, God can bring good out of anything, even a natural disaster. Yeah.
And a lot of people might even be saying, well, that's why he brings these things, because he wants to reduce all the artifice, I mean, of the whatever party you belong to and all that stuff we get caught up in. And we've talked about it. Segment about how the texting and in social media, you know, it gets pretty ugly. So I think God has a good way of leveling the playing field.
Yeah, and you know what? And honestly, I heard many people, saw many interviews of people, especially in the Houston area, who've lost everything, lost their homes. So many of them said, I'm just thankful to be alive. I can replace my home. You know, Dave, sometimes, and I can't imagine being in that position, but I'll say this. I think going through something like that, and I know I have many friends in the Baton Rouge area, and they have told me stories when they've lost homes, the loved ones have lost homes. You do begin to appreciate spiritual things more than material things when you lose everything.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that God's condemning anybody and casting, just causing these things to happen for destruction purposes, but good can come out of it, and people can realize that maybe they're a little too attached to material things.
Yes, absolutely. Many people are. I mean, I have in my past, and I'm trying to just, you know, I don't know, unload that, you know, jettison a lot of the material stuff that I don't need.
I think it's all a process, Dave. We're all changing. As we get older, I would to assume we're getting a little wiser.
I think so. I've seen it in you, Gary, in the last year. Come on.
With that in mind, one thing I want to say one more thing before I want to do the gospel before we go to the break. But one quick thing, Greg Popcheck's going to be on after the break. He's going to discuss how to deal with annoying people. Mr. Parker, you might want to take notes. Right? I'm not saying anything, but I saw your eyes light up when I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Not that you
I
have,
always do.
Dave, do you have any annoying coworkers?
I plead the fifth.
Let's look at the gospel.
No, man.
Let's look at today's gospel. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and he taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions. And Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." The man rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." The man did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Dave, here you go. Mm-hmm. You have some people, the scribes and the Pharisees in this case, mm-hmm. they're just looking to catch Jesus, to wait for him to make a mistake, to say, aha, see, he's a phony, he's a fraud.
Exactly.
And what happens is they're ignoring the miracle. They're ignoring this miracle that took place.
Totally. Yes, they are.
But I'm going to say, mm-hmm. look, we all can be guilty of this at times. I'm not going to mention names, but over the past several weeks, I saw on Facebook a few, one in particular, Christian pastors being attacked for whatever reason. Mm. And what happens sometimes is, and I'm not saying that everything anybody ever says in terms of all of these Christian leaders around the world, I'm not saying everything they say is true and we should listen to them, but we can't discredit everything somebody says because we say, well, they're a hypocrite. They're not practicing what they preach. We've got to be careful about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. The Lord can speak through anybody, and we're called not to judge others. Mm-hmm. We can point out wrongdoing. We can point Absolutely. Out when somebody's wrong, as in yesterday's gospel. We were told yes. we have to do that. But Dave, I can't judge your motives.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't.
Well, we have to be careful.
We have
absolutely.
To be very careful because we're going to be judged one day.
But we have to be discerning.
That's
Maybe
right.
more after the break.
That's right. When we come back, Dr. Greg Popcheck is going to tell us how to deal with annoying people. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for September 11th. Today we celebrate Saint Cyprian. Change and upheaval swirled around this 3rd century bishop who died a martyr. Cyprian lived at a time when persecution of the church was at a high point. In response, many Christians acted out of fear and lapsed in the practice of their faith by sacrificing to idols. In an effort to protect their lives, others claimed that they had done so. How and whether to reinstate those Christians became the burning question of the day. It caused great controversies, but also helped the church progress in its understanding of the sacrament of penance. Cyprian took a middle course. He proposed that those who had actually sacrificed to idols should receive the Eucharist only at death. As for those who had only claimed they had sacrificed, he recommended that they could return to the church after a period of penance. Because of his stance on how to handle heretics and schismatics, Cyprian fell out of favor with Pope Stephen I. The Bishop of Carthage was exiled by the emperor, but he refused to leave his city, insisting that the people should have the witness of his martyrdom. He died in 258. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit,
spirit,
spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control, and in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me.
The doctor says I've only got a few months left. It's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Storm is raging,
my hope is gone.
And
my flesh is failing.
Man, that was The Eye of the Storm by Ryan Stevenson. I thought that was just an appropriate song to play in light of what went on over the weekend. Remember, the Lord is still in control, even in the eye of the storm. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Dealing with annoying people. Boy, that's one that's something I need to get some advice on. Dr. Gregory Popchak, he's a psychotherapist. He's the executive director of Pastoral Solutions Institute. He's the author or co-author of more than 20 popular books. You can find him online at CatholicCounselors.com. And you can hear him and his wife Lisa later today on Holy Spirit Radio at More to Life. That's going to be at 10 a.m. today. Dr. Popchak joins us now to talk about how to deal with annoying people. Dr. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, I was going to introduce you by saying when it comes to dealing with annoying people, only one name comes to mind. That's Dr. Greg Popchak, but I thought that wouldn't be appropriate.
Well, I think about that for a second there. I'm not sure whether to take that as a compliment or not.
Hey, brother, let's talk about this because I think this is a real problem. First of all, what was the motivation for writing this book?
God help me, these people are driving me nuts.
Yes, sir.
Peace with difficult people. The funny story that behind that title is we were really struggling to find a good title for the book. And I was going back and forth with my publisher about what to call it, and I think it was something on the order of 10 different titles. And I hung up the phone, and I said, God help me, these people are driving me nuts.
Wow.
And I said, that's it. And, that was the title. But the impetus behind writing the book itself was the fact that we've all got annoying people in our lives that we need to somehow, on the one hand, be charitable with and loving toward, but sometimes we also need to set boundaries. And how do you do both? And I think that's a difficult question for the Christian to answer effectively, because we really want to be loving. We know we are supposed to be loving. We also have to protect ourselves. And so the gospel yesterday from Matthew 18, you know, it really talks about exactly that. You know, how do we deal with those people who are driving us crazy in a way that respects the Lord's command to be loving in all circumstances,
yeah,
but still keep ourselves safe?
Right, and that's I think that's the big challenge, and one of the difficulties that I have. Well, let me just ask you this before I tell you one of my difficulties. Is there a benefit to having annoying and difficult people in our lives?
Well, there can be. You know, I think that it's possible to sort of dress it up in well-meaning but overly pious language in the sense that, you know, well, this person's my cross. You know, I'm going to be holy by putting up with them. You know,
right.
I just have to suffer that. And that's a little bit of an illusion, right? I mean, if I'm able to work with that difficult person to get through the challenge that we're facing together, and to respond to it in a way that allows us both to grow. I mean, not necessarily always because of, you know, working together, sometimes in spite of each other, but as long as we're both working on it and growing together, that suffering can be redemptive, right?
Right, right.
But just sort of enduring somebody who's offensive or hurtful or obnoxious or even destructive, that's not healthy, right? So, mm-hmm. there is a benefit to having annoying people in our lives in the sense that it challenges us to grow. But we have to be careful about how we approach that.
One of the difficulties that I have sometimes is there are certain people that just get under my skin. They just drive me crazy. And, Greg, I read somewhere a while ago that if that's the case, I mean, certainly we're called to love everybody, not like everybody. That's a common expression. We hear that all the time, and I get that. But I've also been told that it's necessary to work on these sometimes sinful thoughts. If I really dislike somebody, yeah, I can force myself to just tough it out and pray for the grace to love them in spite of that, to pray for them. But if I don't really try to work on those thoughts, those negative thoughts, I'm going to end up either not succeeding with that my desire to love them. I'm going to get mad at them. I'm going to say something, or I'm going to sin in my mind. And what I've always heard is that it's a good idea to try to look for good qualities in even the people that drive us crazy and ask the Lord for help in that regard. Would you agree that that's something we should strive toward?
Well, it is, as long as we're not doing that to the degree that we don't address the problem.
Okay.
Right? So if I can look at those good qualities and say, you know what, this person has good qualities, and because of that, we can work together to solve this problem.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to saying, oh, this person's a jerk and I just don't want to have them in my life at
right.
all, I'm done with them, you know.
Right.
But if I'm using that strategy to talk myself out of addressing real problems in the relationship, then I'm actually not being loving, right? Because loving somebody means working for their good.
Right.
And if somebody's being hurtful or offensive or destructive in some way, and I'm just saying to myself, well, you know, they're good over here, or if they have that decent quality over there,
right.
and I'm using that as an excuse for not addressing the problem, then I'm actually not working for their good or mine.
Okay. So sometimes it's important for us to try to address the problems. Greg, is there ever an occasion where it's more charitable to avoid a person for at least a little while than to deal with the problem?
Well, I guess you're sort of asking two different questions here. The first one, I would say, is there ever time to just sort of, you know, offer it up instead of speaking up, right?
Right.
So in that first instance, I would say, you know, you don't need to bring everything up,
mm-hmm.
right? And if there's something that's sort of an irritation that's caused by a difference in preference, you know, just a stylist thing, something, or even, you know, somebody who's 9 times out of 10 really working for your good, but they're having a bad moment, I mean, we can let those kinds of things go. They're not going to happen regularly, or it's not significantly stopping me from being the person God wants me to be. You know, that's an opportunity to offer that up. I don't need to speak up about that. But let's say you've got a situation where somebody is consistently offensive. I've tried to address them, tried to work with them, and now it's not working, right? They're ignoring it, or even, you know, they continue to be offensive in spite of, you know, me trying to address this with them. In that case, you know, sometimes the most loving thing I can do for somebody is remove the temptation to sin.
Okay.
Me.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
I'm going to give them a wide berth because they can't control themselves around me.
Yeah, and you know, what I was really getting at, and we have about a minute left in the segment, is one time I was in confession talking to a priest about a problem that I had. Every time I went to a particular gathering with certain people, I knew that it would be trouble. I knew I would end up saying something I shouldn't say, especially if I can be a little moody sometimes. And he said, well, maybe it's more charitable for you to stay away sometimes when you feel like you're in a bad mood. I mean, you know what I mean? That's...
Well, right. Well, it's that removing that near occasion of
right,
sin. Right,
right.
So I can't handle the situation,
exactly.
So I'm going to stay away. Or that person can't handle themselves around me, so I'm going to stay away. In that case, that really is the most loving thing to do.
Yeah.
While I try to figure out how I could address that better in the future.
Right. Very good. Well, Greg, I appreciate you joining us today. The book, again, is God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Remind us where we can find you online again.
CatholicCounselors.com.
Dr. Greg Popcheck, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
God bless you, my friend. When we come back, Danielle Bean will be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Hurricane Irma is getting weaker as it moves over the western Florida peninsula early today. Irma hit Florida yesterday as a powerful Category 4 hurricane. By this morning, Irma had weakened to a Category 1 hurricane with winds near 85 miles per hour. Additional weakening is forecast, and Irma is expected to become a tropical storm over northern Florida or southern Georgia later in the day. Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos has pledged to Pope Francis that Colombia will keep its doors open to thousands of Venezuelan exiles, even as it works to find a political solution to its neighbor's crisis. Santos says he told the Pope in their final encounter yesterday that Colombia will always be a welcoming land. Over the weekend, the Vatican released a motu proprio from Pope Francis, changing the process in which liturgical texts are translated into the vernacular. Instead of the responsibility lying first with the Holy See, canon law has now been changed to put the primary responsibility on episcopal conferences to faithfully translate the words while making it relevant to their particular parts of the world. and 9/11 survivors, victims, relatives, rescuers, and others are expected to gather at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and near Shanksville, Pennsylvania today to mark the 16th anniversary of the terror attacks that changed the nation. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Future presents Because of Gracia, a movie produced by author, activist, and human rights worker Jason Jones. Because of Gracia was nominated for 3 International Christian Awards for the amazing story of 2 high school couples in the pursuit of truth. The Allentown AMC 16 Theater will help bring the gospel to the mainstream media, opening September 15th. Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Future are in need of donations and sponsors to bus children from the local high schools to attend the film. Please contact Mike Israel or Anna Ataya at 484-330-6380. Again, that is 484-330-6380. Take a moment and visit prolifefuture.org. Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Future, young adults creating a culture of life.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Tara Lewis couldn't believe her eyes. A conductor in the New York subway system, she saw a man standing on the platform as the train approached. Instead of stepping on, he waited until the train was leaving the station, then hurled himself between cars and disappeared from sight. Horrified, Tara pulled the emergency brake and the train ground to a halt. Somehow he ended up on the landing between cars, opened the door, and tried to blend in with regular passengers. But Tara would have none of it. She quickly contacted the police, who took the man to a hospital for evaluation. As reported by the Daily News, Tara Lewis likely saved that man's life. For her actions, she was nominated for a Hero Award. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the
And that was Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for joining us today. Danielle Bean is publisher and she's editor-in-chief of Catholic Digest. She's the creator and host of The Gist, a weekly Catholic women's television talk show. She's the author of several books, including the one we're going to talk about today, You Are Worth It. You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. Danielle, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's always exciting to talk to you.
I love the book, Danielle. I know it's targeted primarily toward women, but there's so much in here that I really enjoy. One of the things you're talking about in the chapter, we're going to talk about chapter 6 today. It's called You Are Fulfilled. You make a statement. I think this is a very interesting statement. You say that having a man provide for us is an especially feminine way of experiencing love. It's built into our female DNA. Talk a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah, maybe it's not politically correct.
I know.
To recognize it, but women do experience love in that way of being provided for.
Yeah.
Men and women are different, and that's a unique way that women can experience being loved and cared for by another human being.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not politically correct, and I'm glad you're saying it because it's not something that I would say. But it's very interesting because I know my wife has said this sometimes. You make the point also women crave security, both emotional and physical. You have needs, and you want a man to meet those needs.
That's right. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to maybe admit those things, but even independent women who are, you know, financially independent, own your own home, have a good job, pay your own bills, we still crave that kind of love from another human being.
Right.
And part of what I go into in the book is the way that Jesus uniquely meets that need, because he's both God and man.
Right.
He can meet our needs in a way that no human, you know, just human person can ever do, because human beings will always disappoint us.
So let's talk about that, the fact that Jesus meets our needs. In all ways, he will never disappoint. Do you think sometimes we're afraid to really go to him and ask him for what we need, or do we hold back?
I think that's a very human thing to do, but it shows a lack of understanding about who Jesus is and the nature of his love for each of us individually. You know, if ever you're doubting Jesus' love for you, you don't have to look any further than, you know, a crucifix or a picture of the crucifixion, because there's an image of a man giving all. That's not somebody who cares just a little bit about you. That's not the kind of love that holds back or is stingy in any kind of way. He's
right.
Giving all for each of us individually, personally, deeply, intimately. And I think that's a gift that we can sometimes forget to fully concentrate on, fully focus on, and fully appreciate.
And in return, and this is the difficult part, he expects us to give all.
Yeah, that's all he wants, everything.
Yeah, that's it, right?
It's a little bit hard sometimes to grasp that idea, but it truly is, and he wants everything for our own good. He wants us to give all of ourselves to him as a gift for our own good, because he knows it's inside of that self-gift
right.
that we truly find fulfillment as human beings. It's inside of our relationships, truly giving of ourselves, that we find meaning inside of our relationships. He knows that about us. So he wants that good thing for us.
Are there any examples in the Bible of women who gave all?
In the chapter, I talk about the widow and her mite. And sometimes that feels like a very lofty goal to set,
yeah,
right? Because
right.
Those of us who, you know, aren't as impoverished as the widow in that story, it's hard for us to give from our need. We just give from our want and feel pretty good about that.
Right.
But I think that example is really a great lesson for each of us, because it's so hard for us. Because it's so hard for us to trust Jesus in that way, that he's going to meet our needs, to be generous even from our want. We want to make sure our own needs are met first, but that's really just betraying the idea that we're trusting in our own bank accounts or in our own job security
right.
rather than in God himself.
That's a very common problem. That's something that I've struggled with throughout my life. When I was working as a software developer, had plenty of money in the bank, Danielle, it wasn't difficult for me to say, oh yeah, I trust the Lord. But I was really trusting in my bank account. Once I got involved in full-time ministry, it was a different story.
Absolutely. And I think that many of us can experience things like that. You know, during times in your life where you're financially secure with your own means, it's very easy, as you say, to say, oh, I trust in God. No, he's providing so well for me. When really you're trusting in your own job, you're trusting in your own talents, your own abilities. It's really when you take that leap of faith, as you did, making maybe a change in status, maybe one that you didn't choose yourself,
right,
that you could be really pushed. And it's a very uncomfortable thing to be pushed to truly test the kind of trust that you have in God to provide for your needs.
Now, I recognize that this is a process and that we're not going to get there overnight. You know, I believe that we learn to trust in the Lord gradually. Are there things we can do? You mentioned looking at a crucifix, remembering what Jesus did for us. But are there any other things that we can do so that we can learn to trust him more?
Well, one thing that I try to do is I just pray for that trust. Just ask for it. He wants you to grow in trust of him. And so a prayer that I'll frequently say is, Jesus, I trust in you. Help me to trust you more.
Right.
And it's very simple, and yet I know I need to grow in that area. I know I'm struggling, and Jesus loves it when we come to him in that need and very honestly share with him what we're struggling with. And, you know, he knows it already. You might as well share it with him. Let him know what's on your heart. Let him know what you're struggling with. Let him know that you're holding back and that you don't want to be.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer in that, and in fact, when I give my talks, one of the things I share is that I was always afraid to say, Lord, I don't trust you. Help me to trust you more. But he already knows that, right? It's just hard to say those words sometimes.
It is. It's hard to admit because we want to already be holy and perfect.
Yes.
And yet we're a mess, really, truly, and he knows that, and he loves us inside of that mess. He loves us in our weakness, and he meets us in that weakness. He uses that as a way to connect with us. So truly, in those moments where we are honest, when we're honest with ourselves and honest in our prayer and what we say to Jesus, really, like, we grow in our relationship with him then.
And I think one of the main things that we need to do is to admit that we're weak, as you said, to admit that we're weak and to ask for help. I know that's one of the things I struggle with. I'm always trying to do it all myself. I'm going to become holy by myself. I'm going to trust by myself. My faith is going to grow. It's all up to me, but most of it isn't up to me.
Absolutely. And I think the more that we recognize that, and sometimes we can recognize that on our own, sometimes life hits us in the face and forces us to recognize
right.
that. But the more we can recognize that, the more we do grow in actual holiness, not the type of thing where we can pat ourselves on the back for all the rosaries we've said and all the trust we've had in the Lord. But it's those times when we really struggle that true growth happens.
I totally agree. Danielle, we have about 2 minutes left in the segment. Just fill us in, if you could, about some of the work that you do and how we could bring you out to speak at our parishes, where we can get your books. Where's the best place to go?
Oh, sure. Go to daniellebean.com. And if you want to know more about You're Worth It, the book, there's a tab there you can click on to learn more about my books that are available. You're Worth It is the newest book that I have available. But also, I built and designed a retreat that's especially for women, a day retreat, mm-hmm. based around the themes of the book. So there's a tab on daniellebean.com you can click on that says retreat. You can get more information about bringing that retreat to your parish, your community, the women in your area. I've spoken to women's groups, and I've spoken to parish groups and dioceses, and also just a woman had it on her heart in a small town to pull it together. She'd never done this kind of thing before, and we worked together, and it made a beautiful day. So I really love the opportunity to meet with and work with women all across the country. So at daniellebean.com/retreat, you can find out more about bringing me to your community and sharing the message of Jesus' unique love for women with the women of your community.
Perfect. And Danielle, we're going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you again for joining us. I really appreciate the fact that you're a regular guest on our program.
Me too. I always enjoy talking with you, Gary. God bless you.
God bless you too. That's Danielle Bean. You can find her online at daniellebean.com. I want to apologize. We are having some telephone difficulties. Dave,
yes.
We're trying to work here to get them rectified.
Absolutely. But nothing's working.
Right. So anyway, we apologize for the difficulties with our phone guests today. When we come back from the break, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Now, the verse we're going to look at today is one that's very familiar. This is something that many of us have heard before, but it's I've got an interesting spin on it, and I hope you'll be able to stick around for that Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It's going to be the words of the angel spoken to Zechariah. Now, if you remember, Zechariah had some doubts when the angel came to him and informed him that his wife, his elderly wife, was going to have a child. And we're going to take a look at that and how that can help us to overcome anxiety in our lives. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio, along with Dave Parker. We're so glad that you're able to join us today on this Monday morning, on this beautiful Monday morning. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 6:6, when confronted with a man's withered hand on the Sabbath, Jesus asked the scribes and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or evil? To preserve life or to destroy it?" He looked at them and then told the man to stretch out his hand, which he healed on the spot. The scribes and Pharisees were aghast. Fully aware that Sabbath observance was never meant to come before charity, Jesus cut through their petty concerns by simply putting first things first. It was his familiarity with the will of the author that caused so many people to praise him for speaking with authority. Through his church, he speaks today with the same authority, giving priority of life over personal choice, marriage until death over divorce, sexual purity over lust and sexual aberrations. First things first simply means the truth. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry or the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him. For he knows what is ahead.
Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know
who stands by me, and the path that be mine, portion may be
welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was The Isaacs, the name of the song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Good reminder for all of us. The Lord holds tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Even if we don't, just hold on to His hand and everything will be fine. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse, it comes from Luke 1:13. But the angel said to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John." Now, Dave Parker, we have heard that verse so many times. Zechariah's reaction to the angel saying, okay, your wife is barren, you're praying for her to have a child. Angel comes to him and said, your request is granted. She's going to have a child. Zechariah's reaction, I don't believe you.
Yeah, he was kind of cynical.
So, right?
It's going to happen, you know? Like, how can that be?
How many times do we do the same thing? God will grant us, he'll answer our request. He'll give us exactly what we want.
Exactly.
And we'll say, yeah, but wait till tomorrow. This isn't going to last something.
Yeah.
So the reason that I included that in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and the reason I'm talking about it as a Be Not Afraid Bible verse is, if we try to be more grateful, Dave, for the little things that the Lord does for us and for the many answered prayers, without trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future, just thank you today, Lord, for answering me, for blessing me with this. If we start to do that, we develop an attitude of gratitude.
Absolutely. And sometimes we overthink it. I mean, that our first reaction was, oh, come on. You know, that's kind of our jaded, worldly view. And we need to trust. Just basically, okay, God, if you say it, it's so.
Right, right. And as Danielle Bean was talking about in our last segment, what do we do when we don't trust? Well, we ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Please help me to trust you more.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's not easy to do. Sometimes we're afraid that, oh, no, Lord's going to find out I don't trust him.
Yeah.
He already knows that.
Yes.
So why not be honest and make that your prayer? Lord, help me to trust you
more.
I want to pass along something that press release that we got from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia and the Office of Catholic Education kick off the 2017-2018 school year with the official Back to School event and pep rally. That's going to be today at 10 a.m. on the steps of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. This event will be also streamed live from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia Schools website at aopcatholicschools.org. This is going to be a pep rally and pep rally, including members of the Conwell Egan High School cheerleading team and the Cardinal O'Hara High School marching band and color guard. In addition, mascots from the archdiocesan high schools will compete in a friendly mascot race.
Wow.
Friendly. So that, yeah, we'll see how friendly right. that is. But that's going to be today, 10 a.m., on the steps of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul.
Wow.
The official kickoff of the school year.
Absolutely. Hey, Gare, maybe after the show, which we only have a few minutes, we can go see it. See these mascots being loving and
That's going to be interesting. Well, you know, Dave, we don't even have to go because it's going to be streamed live at aopcatholicschools.org. So we can watch it.
Well, good luck to them.
We can see if the mascots are indeed going to be as friendly as they are supposed to be.
Well, good luck to everybody on this beautiful morning in Philadelphia.
Now, tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma, who will continue our series on Bible basics. We're going to focus on Abraham once again, as we've been doing for the past few weeks. Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese will join us. She's the director of New Evangelization. On Wednesday, Jenny Hubbard will be here. Jenny is going to be leading a retreat at the Malvern Retreat House. What an amazing story. Her daughter is one of the students who were killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School a few years ago. She just has an amazing retreat, and she's going to be coming to Malvern. She's going to be sharing her story about, of all things, Dave, trusting in God. I mean, that's unimaginable what she went through. Also, Matt Pinto will be here from Ascension Press. That'll be on Wednesday. On Thursday, Chris Bell will join us to talk about the great work that he's doing at Good Counsel Homes. And on Friday, one of your homeboys, Justin Fatica, will be here.
All right, from Erie, Pennsylvania.
I think the third most famous person from Erie, right behind Father Larry Richards and Dave Parker.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not in that order. But I'll go with it for now.
So Justin Fatica will be here. We've had it's been really tough to get Justin on the show because he's so busy, but he's going to be coming on to join us.
And he Justin and Father Larry, Justin was a student of Father Larry, and they did not start off on the best student or pupil and teacher, but they love each other now. They've grown to love each other.
And one final reminder, Radiothon next week. The 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd of September. It's going to be our Radiothon.
Yes, it is.
And we are going to be broadcasting Spirit in the Morning in our usual time from 7 to 8. And then we'll do an additional 2 hours right after the Mass. So we'll be on from 7 to 8 and then 9 to 11. So keep that in mind. Going to be all new songs. Special guest, Radiothon 2017 coming your way. Beginning on September the 20th. I hear my music. It's time for me and Dave to get out of here. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless you. Talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating